Would you rather be here or in the hospital? Here. All right, smile at me real big. On three, smile. Don't you frown. Smile. You're a good-looking crowd, aren't you? I thought somebody would shout or do something after that song. But, you know, it must be the rain or something. I don't know what it is. You've read your emails and you send these things around, different ones of us, and we hear these little stories. And here's one about old Chippy the parakeet. Chippy had a bad day. He was minding his own business and he was singing his song in his cage, and his owner decided to clean out his cage with a vacuum cleaner. The phone rang while the lady was about to clean out the cage, and the end of the vacuum cleaner hose got away from her, it looks like. Sucked old Chippy up in the vacuum cleaner, and she was certainly sad. But she went ahead and she tore the vacuum cleaner, the story goes, apart and ripped the bag and got little Chippy out of the dust. And there he was, stunned, covered with dust, and she said, well, he needs a bath. So she took a little Chippy over to the faucet and turned the water on, and poor old Chippy got cold and wet and didn't know what to do, and she kind of looked around and said, well, now Chippy's cold. So instead of getting a towel, she decided to get the blow dryer, and she got the blow dryer. She blew old Chippy off, and just Chippy was stunned. Somebody asked her a few weeks after that, says, how's Chippy doing? Well, Chippy doesn't sing much more anymore. He just sits there and stares. Poor old Chippy. Sometimes I feel like Chippy. Do you? Just sit there and stare for a while. What in the world's going on? I don't know what Chippy thought, but I'd say he had a tough time. Every now and then, we can have a tough time in this life. If you serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to be reminded that you have the victory. Amen? Victory in Jesus. It is ours on this earth. No matter how much it looks like hell might be winning, no matter how much you may be going through as a person, if you love Jesus Christ, He is your Lord and Savior. You've asked Him to forgive you of your sin. You're His child, and you have the victory. No matter if you get sucked up in the vacuum cleaner, covered in dust, or rinsed under the faucet, you're still on the winning side. You need to know that. I need to know that. The church needs to know that. Life can come at us fast sometimes. It can kind of just blindside us. You can be walking down the street, so to speak, and with a big smile on your face, everything going your way. One phone call, bam, as fast as a snap of a finger, can change life. It can turn quickly. And we can feel like old Chippy, and we're just sucked up, it seems like, by the problems of life or the joy out of our hearts. We've got a problem in this world, and it's called sin, the power of sin. And it's far-reaching. Now, we have victory over that through Jesus Christ, but we live in a sinful world. We all know that. We don't have to look far to find it either. That's the kind of world we live in, trials and difficulties. And the famous saying we've all said to our kids at times is what? Life is not fair. Well, this one did that and that one did this, and here we go through all the teenage drama, through all of life, and you've all looked at your kids like I've looked at mine, and after all that, we went through all that and said, life is not fair. And sometimes it's not. If you look at the news, you can find out real quick that it seems like life's not fair. You can see children starving to death in other parts of the world, and we would say that's not fair. We can see children abused, and we say that's not fair. We can see people being killed for no good reason, and we can say life's not fair. We can see people shooting at the policemen and killing them for no reason and say life is not fair. The drug dealer still goes ahead and does his poison and all the things he does, and it seems like nothing happens, and we say, life's not fair. So why about all the suffering in the world? Life's not fair? Is God a cruel God? No, He is not a cruel God. But there is a problem in the world, and that problem goes back to sin. Now, you and I, we've lived a while, and hope to live a lot longer. And we've seen people go through terrible situations in life, and it seems like they come out on the other side of them stronger and better and with a joy in their heart, with a great reliance upon God and the Holy Spirit, and they just seem to get stronger through it. We've seen people go through tough times, and it would seem like they come out on the other side kind of the opposite way, defeated and bitter and not knowing what to do. So life's not fair. You say, well, preacher, my husband, my wife walked out on me, and here I am. I was at the cemetery, and there's a loved one that's gone on, and here I am. I had to have this surgery or that surgery. Life's not fair. And maybe you felt like the psalmist. He said this, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And then the American people and humanity says life's not fair. So we look to the Bible and we read stories in the Bible. And old Joseph could say, hey, life's not fair. My brothers sold me into slavery. You remember that story. Certainly we remember a man named Job. And one day, I mean, he had a bad day. Not just a bad day, but a terrible day. When you lose everything, possessions, family, and everything else. And it happened. Boom. John the Baptist was beheaded, executed for no good reason. Life's not fair. The apostles, tortured for preaching the gospel, killed for preaching the gospel. Well, we can go back and say, life's not fair. Now, have you got the thought so far? Life's not fair? I hope you have, because that's the negative. I'm about to get hurt up here myself. Now, let's go to the good news. Let's go. What about all this? There's some hope, you see. And I'm going to start by giving you scripture in 2 Corinthians 11. Is that on the screen this morning? I believe it is. There it is. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open seas. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger in rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. So, here we got this scripture, and you're saying, hey, life must not be fair. Well, yeah, we've established that. The folks who say to you, oh, just become a Christian, all your problems are over. Life will be rosy. All your problems are not over because you become a Christian. You might gain a few problems because you're living for God. You might have a big target on your back in the world that we live in today because you do serve God. So, either way, it's not always a bed of roses for Christians, but we have the what? Victory in Jesus. The lady sang about it. Now, we heard it, and we know it. But we go on in life. Jesus himself, now, came into this world. You know that story. He was rejected by his own people. You remember reading about that, too. You remember about this trial that really wasn't a trial. He was sentenced to death. You remember him going to the cross. You remember a crown of thorns into his scalp. You remember the beatings. You remember the mob. You know how he was killed. You remember the nails in his hands. And you know the crucifixion story. Jesus could have said, life's not fair. But on the third day, you know that story too, the tomb. Was there, and it was empty, and the stone was rolled away, and we see victory again over death and hell and the grave. Life's not fair, but God is good. Do you hear that? Life's not fair, but God is good. You can take it to the bank, the old saying says, God is good. No matter what the world says, no matter what the government says, no matter what your wife says and your husband says and your kids say, you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? I hope you do. Because the world will tell you that it doesn't even matter if you're in Christ. There are all kinds of theories from the universities to places that call themselves churches. All kinds of theories, all kinds of ideas, and a lot of them are straight out of the pits of hell. A lot of them don't have anything to do with the Word of God, and we live in a time that we're trying to figure things out, and our children and grandchildren are certainly trying to figure out what is right according to who? According to the preacher, to the Sunday school teacher, to the professor, to the what? Mom, dad, grandma, who's right in all this? I ask you as young people and old people and middle-aged people and as children to check it out with the Word of the living God. Your opinion, my opinion, the next guy's opinion, we must have a system that we find out where it's what is true about this. I hope you go vote this week. That's free. That's not in the sermon. But you get on some of these initiatives and education and whatever else, and my eyes being ever which way. I'm trying to cry cross-eyed. I'm trying to understand that. I'm not so sure that I understand it yet, but I'm trying to. Lord, that might have been out of the flesh or something. I don't have a thing to do with this sermon. But there's so many theories, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We must find out what is truth. Well, the truth is God's holy word, and if we don't read it, we won't know it, and I ask you to read it. I ask you to make it a part of your daily life, that truth, absolute truth, not what the preacher preached on, not what the other guy said, but you are reading God's holy word, allowing the Word and the Spirit of God to speak directly to you. We need the Word of God. It's absolute truth. Well, next slide. Trials are short term. No matter what's happening in your life, your friend's life, your family's life, listen, they can seem mighty long, but trials are short term. We say, well, some last longer than others. They may do it. But they're in the big picture of eternity, certainly they're short. Look with me at the next slide. It's 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Trials are short term. A little while you got to suffer, it says here. These have come so that your faith, now get a hold of this, your faith of greater worth than gold. Is your faith of greater worth than gold to you? I hope it is. I hope you hang on to the faith you have in the Lord Jesus of greater worth than gold. So it's short term. It's short lived, these trials that we face. They won't last forever. The next slide says trials can lead us to greater blessing. Trials can lead us to greater blessing. As we get through them, as we go through them. Look what James said. The next slide says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. We must keep going. Look at the next slide. Trials give us proper perspective. Somebody's used the term, we've got to be reeled in every now and then. We've got to look at things in the right perspective. And trials give us proper perspective. Look at 2 Corinthians. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in the trial you're in. Don't lose heart in the battle you're in. Don't lose heart in the temptation you're in. Hang in there. You're on the winning side. We have the victory in Jesus. So don't lose heart. The next slide says trials can help us experience God's presence. When you're on top of the mountain, everything's going your way, you probably have a prayer life. You probably are reading the Word as Christian people. But when you're in the valley, when you're down and out, when you don't understand, your prayer life usually increases. Your reading of the Word and trying to find answers probably increases. And so, trials can help us experience God's presence. The next slide says trials help us look forward to heaven. I know I look forward to heaven. We had all kinds of questions about heaven this morning in Sunday school. And what would it be like? And how would we recognize people? Or will we recognize people? All those questions that we have some opinions and we have some scriptures that take us on. But then there's that. Now, just how will it be exactly? And we're scratching our heads at. We're not real sure exactly how it will be, but Jesus will be there. We determine that. Our loved ones will be there that's saved by the blood of Christ, and we look forward. Trials will help us look toward heaven too. Look at Romans 8:18 on the screen. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I consider that our present suffering... Not that the present suffering's not real. Not that there's not heartaches in the world. Not that, you know, we're not saying that it doesn't happen. It does. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. Not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us when you get to heaven. When you go out of this world, there's a heaven to gain. A hell to shun. You don't want to go to hell. The only way to stay out of hell is to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and live for Him. Just one way. And that's through Jesus. But in this heaven that we're heading to, a lot of good things will be there. And the suffering we go through, no matter how hard, it's not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, God's at work, we see in Scripture and all things. God's at work when I see Him, when I see the evidence, and when I don't. I believe that God, as it were, is at work in all things. Paul, in Romans 8:28, you know the Scripture probably by heart, but he doesn't say that God's at work in a few things, or God's at work in several things. Or God's at work in many things. He says that God is at work in all things. So what is happening in life? What's happening in the world? What's happening to me personally? I believe since I am His child that He cares for me. The Bible tells me that over and over. And it says that I can give Him my cares, my worries and fears and whatever in prayer. I can communicate to Him. So God is heavily involved. And we need to see it that way and pray that way, that He is involved in all these things. And He gives us strength for the situation and the circumstances. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. If that's true, and I submit to you that it is, then there's not a situation that's too hard for God. There's situations we don't like. There's hard situations in life. We don't deny it. But if God is at work, and God loves you, and God cares for you, and Jesus died for you, the blood's been applied to you, you are to walk in victory even through the trial. We don't have to like it all. God doesn't think, is saying, hey, you like something that's terrible. But He is expecting us to keep walking through it and to keep going with His strength and His purpose that He will receive glory through it. And we may not ever realize it or know how, but He will receive glory through it. He's giving us strength. And Jesus has defeated the power of the evil one. I have told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Now the next slide says, one day the trials will be removed. You like that? Isn't that bright, sunny, green, and a pretty flower? One day the trials will be removed. You believe that? I hope you do. One day all the trials will be removed. Look at the next slide. It's Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. A new day is coming, you see. A new day. Now this is not on the screen, but it's Romans 8:28, and I'll stop at verse 39. And if you want to turn there in the Bible, fine, or if you want to listen, fine. Romans 8, starting at 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There's the scripture I was referring to. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those that he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? What are we going to say in response to all that God has done? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. In all these things, all of life, whatever's happening, we are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. That helps me to put things in perspective. That lets me know that God is at work. That lets me know what Jesus' Son did for me. That lets me know that he cares for me. And no matter what happens throughout this world, on a local level, a national level, around the world, that because I am a child of the living God, because you are a child of the living God and living for him, we have the victory. We have a purpose, and God has a purpose for us, and we are to march in a triumphant procession. We are to keep doing what we know to do. We are to listen to the Word of God and get our instructions from the Bible and through the Holy Spirit and keep doing what is right in God's eyes, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what this political party says or the next one says, we are to do what God has told us to do because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans, the word "we know" is used more than one time. And I think he is trying to get the point across that we know God, and he goes on to tell us, we know God's up to these things. And our I know is used several times, or just the word no is used several times. I think trying to drive home the point, listen, you need to know these things. You don't need to just hope for them, or maybe it'll work out that way, or I sure hope it will. No, listen, I'm writing these things that you as my people may know that you know, that you know, that you have the victory, that you may know what thus saith the Lord, that you will know how to live the right way instead of the wrong way, according to the word of the living God. So, we as Christian people, we know through the word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is for us, so who can be against us? Doesn't say we'll never have a trial. Never say nothing won't go wrong for us. But it says if it's trouble, or if it's hardship, or if it's persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, it might look like things are going the wrong way. It might look or even feel like, where are you at right now, God? I can't sense it. I don't know it. It seems, where are you at, God? But I guarantee you He is there. And at the right time, at the right moment, God will step in and show you and the situation what needs to happen, and He'll help you bring it about if you'll stay in tune with Him. He'll do it. Trouble, hardship, all these things. Hey, listen, I'm still there, He's saying, and you are more than conquerors, He says. You have assistance from someone who can do something about the circumstance. Well, preacher, pray for me. I'll be glad to pray for you. You say, well, I'm praying for myself. I'm glad you're praying for yourself. But when we get in contact with Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then we're talking to someone that can do something about that circumstance. And we need to stay in tune, and because that's where the victory is. Christ gives us the victory. Victory in Jesus. So, I am persuaded. For I am convinced. I am persuaded. And He gives us this list here. Death, life, angels, demons. You see the contrast. One end of the scale of the other. And anything in between. I'm convinced of all this. I'm persuaded. Back to that word know again. You know that death cannot even separate us from the love of God. Death will just usher me into the presence of the Lord more than I've ever been, if I understand it right. Death can't even separate me from that love of God. Sometimes I believe life's a lot more complicated than death. You say, well, what's wrong with you? But life can be so much more complicated than death. To me, there's a lot worse things can happen to somebody than death. If they're ready to meet the Lord, I'm telling you, life can be worse than death. We don't look at it that way sometimes, I guess. But death can't separate us. Life can't separate us from the love of God. Now, you have a choice to make. You have a choice each day to read the Word, the truth, and apply it to your life, or just leave the Bible on the coffee table. I've got one on the, what do you call that little table? End table, thank you. That, where you put your lamp, beside the recliner. Now it can lay there, it looks real good. You'd come over to the parsonage, you'd say, isn't that nice? Preacher's got his little devotional there beside his table, his chair, and he's a godly man. Well, I hope I am. I'm trying to be. But if it just lays there, it looks good. Nice little devotion, nice little Bible sitting there. That's real nice. But if I don't read it, if I don't pick it up, it's doing me no good. So we've got a choice. Pick it up. Get the truth in my mind and in my heart. Live by what the Bible says, because I know I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, no matter what the circumstance may be. This great salvation, this great love story, this salvation story, best story you'll ever hear. It is the best. And we love Him because He first loved us. So, what's happening in your life. You know that. The Lord knows that. What's happening? Oh, I'm on top of the mountain. Good for you. I'm down in the valley. I'm sorry. Wherever you're at, God loves you. He cares for you. And you're more than a conqueror. There's all sorts of things in life that'll come against us. You say, well, the old devil. Yeah, the old devil, he sure does. Sometimes we come against ourselves. Sometimes other people come against us, but I want to tell you something. You're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ the Lord. You're on the winning side. So I say to you, do you know? I hope you know. And what is it I hope you know? I hope you know that all those things he listed in the scripture, life and death, angels, demons, can't separate you from the love of God. But you have a choice. You have a choice to put your heart into the kingdom work. You have a choice to love God, to pray to God, to read His Word. You have a choice. How involved do you want it to be? How much of Jesus do we really want? Just enough to keep us out of hell? Just enough to get us by? Well, we've got to answer that as individuals. But He's available in all circumstances, and He loves you. Died for your sins, and He wants you to know you're on the winning side. He wants you to know you have victory in Jesus, not saying that you won't have any trouble, not saying you won't go through a trial, not saying that you won't shed many tears over things in life, but through it all, I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you and cares for you, and you're more than a conqueror through Christ the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Wherever you're at in life, if you're on that mountaintop, the greatest story you've ever heard is this story about Jesus. Would you praise Him and thank Him for things going well right now? If you're in a battle with some circumstance and situation and you just feel like, I can't believe this is even happening, know that God cares for you. Know that you're more than a conqueror. And what did you play for the offering? Can you just play that for a minute? We're just going to let them play that. Wasn't it beautiful at offering time? It'll be beautiful this time too. In the presence of Jehovah, good things happen. And He's here. We're here. Thank the Lord for the goodness you're experiencing in life. And if the quote, what we call bad, is hanging around, come and pray. Guarantee you, I'll pray with you if you choose for me to on this side. In front of the piano, I won't bother you. It's a sign to me that I want to spend some time alone with God. And I respect that. But folks, here we are, living the way we're living. Life's ups and life's downs. I want you to go out in victory, knowing you're more than a conqueror. You say, my situation's mighty hard right now, preacher. If you only knew. I don't have to know. But I guarantee you God knows. And He loves you. Our Father in heaven, we've gathered in Jesus' name. We've worshiped you the best we know how. And we've delivered the very powerful Word of God that's reminded us that we are more than conquerors in you, and that you're drawing us to you in good and bad times. Father, I just pray that whatever people are dealing with in this day, that they'll deal with it with you. And whatever that means for us gathered here today, whether it's praise or whether it's God help me, I pray that we will respond to what you're doing in the next few moments in time. And I pray this in Jesus' name.